dance. It's because of you that I 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 dance. It's because of you that I.
It's because of you that I sing. It's because of you that I pray. It's because of you that I worship and bow down to your name every day. It's because of you that I dance. It's because of you that I shout. It's because of you that I leap for joy with a heart that has no doubt.
Holy, holy, Father, you are holy. No one else like you. Faithful, faithful, Father, you are faithful. We have put our trust in you. You are holy, yes, you are
holy, holy, Father, you are holy.
There is no one,
there is no one else like you.
Hey, you are faithful, yes, you are.
Praise your name.
Abba, I will forever give you the praise, for there is none like you.
Oh,
Baba,
beautiful one. We love your name.
We love your name. We love your name.
We love your name. Jesus, you're the beautiful one. We love your name.
I love your name. I love your name.
I love your name. Jesus, you're the beautiful one.
Praise the living Jesus. Well, it's been a very wonderful past 2 days or so, but we bless God. We bless God. We've been having our marriage enrichment weekend. Friday was really exceptional, really wonderful. praise the Lord. And our guest speaker has been one of the fathers in our church. He's not just a senior pastor here in America, he's a senior pastor in the Redeemed Christian Church of God, period. And that's in the person of Pastor Ade Okorunde. He's a regional pastor. That's the new administrative arm of our church, meaning he reports directly to the general overseer. No interference between that communication. And at the same time, he, you know, even though he says, you know, mommy is the resident pastor, but when you have your regional pastor as your husband and a member of your church, you know who is in charge. Yeah. It says she's in charge, but we really know who's in charge, you know, and God has been helping them. Very great work going on there at the Pavilion of Redemption in Houston. Is married with 4 children, and as we have been making the disclaimer since, is married to a woman. Hallelujah. And that union has produced 4 wonderful children, 3 boys and a girl. Some of us should know his son, Chosen. Chosen was here for Qatar. Hallelujah. You see, my children are, this is Chosen's dad. They were applauding the name Chosen. When they said this is Chosen's dad, they froze. Those are Chosen's fans. But please join me as I make welcome to the podium this morning. Father in the Lord, Pastor Ade Okorunde. You're welcome, sir.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's clap for Jesus now. Amen. You can have your seat in His awesome presence. It's been a wonderful weekend, and I believe that the best is yet to come. I want to appreciate the pastors in the house and the resident pastor. In the you see, well, don't worry, whoever is. When instructions are given, we know who is in charge. So when my wife comes up and I say, well, okay, fine. And she gets to the administrative department and say, hey, administrator, you people, who told you to do this? Say, daddy said we should do it. And she would just come to my office and say, but I am the resident pastor of this church. I say, oh, yes, you are the pastor. They say, look, you will take your regional office out of this building. And I say, okay, that, oh, yes, ma'am. But whenever you are traveling, take your church along. Amen. We thank God for Jesus and appreciate all the ministers in the house, the pastors, and believe that you did a good job here. I was very excited because when I walked this facility and I quickly asked the pastor, I hope this is our property. He said, yes. I said, good. Let's clap for Jesus. You see, anywhere we tread upon, Christ says, occupy till I come. And I will see, say that this is the springboard for the expected venue. Because some things may happen and you start to say, okay, this is good. I told my people, I don't really relish something good because it is the enemy of the best. I don't relish it. It's good. There's something in comparative analysis, they say good, better, best. Why are you satisfied with that which is good? This is good. The best is yet to come, Pastor. The best will come in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's been very wonderful, and I'm very happy to be here. I'm the most generous man in the world because people are not out of the people that do the same thing that they have not obeyed my instruction. I share my wife every Sunday, everywhere, every fellowship, and they do not pay for it. My wife is Grace. After the service, they share Grace in fellowship. Not singularly, in fellowship. Amen. And I tell you, if everybody will give $5 just for one sharing in every fellowship, I mean, I'll be a millionaire today. I told your pastor, every time that you share Grace in fellowship, just send $5 check. Amen. She's a very dynamic woman, wonderful woman. She told me if she didn't marry me, my life would be so boring. And I think I agree with her. Because I'm not actually an introvert, and I'm not a pessimist, but an objective optimist. But people say my disposition is pessimistic to some extent, but we will always find a good way of describing ourselves: objective optimist. So I'm a melancholy by nature, by disposition, temperamental disposition. My wife is a choleric, and we make one of the best combination. And we did this on Friday. We spoke about it. The material is given to you. You are asked to go and study it, score yourself. You see, somebody said, if you don't want a typical black man to know something, a woman, a black person, just put it in writing and put it in a book. He or she may never see it. Listen to this. This is real. I attended a wedding in England, and I wrote a check, and I put it in a book. I gave it to them. It's going to be very close to 6 months now. If they have seen that check, they will have called me. Somebody said, but that's what I said. I don't have to tell them. I told them at the wedding that this book will bless your union, and I gave it to them. The check is in there. I've not gotten a call. And I'm sure if I check my account, that money is still in my account. Because there's no way they get such a check and you say, ah, uncle, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Because I told them that I was not going to come to the wedding because I was so busy. And they said, oh, uncle. I said, okay, let me send you $1,000. For this. He said, no, we want your presence. I said, okay, what else do you want me to do? He said, uncle, we just need to see you. And I said, okay. And I went. And I said, okay, let me send, give them a good check. And I put it in the book. Up till now, they have not called me. So you don't know them, so you can't tell them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let's go into the business of the day. I want to encourage you. See, we've been talking about enhancing our marriages, and I believe it's going to be wonderful in Jesus' name. I'll be talking briefly and pray with you, because I have just 34 more minutes. Pray with you on the subject. I'm talking about wedding today, enhancing our marriage. I'm talking about wedding. Amen. You have to be, if those of you that are not yet married, be very, very careful and watch out. When your father-in-law-to-be comes up to the altar with smile and excitement, you may be in trouble. I won't go more than that, probably. Because it's either you're accepting asset and liability, or more of a liability than an asset. But if your father-in-law-to-be walks to the altar and with mixed feeling, you can be sure you are robbing him of something. But if it had been... one day you will go out of this house. And you come with blissful smile. and you are hooked up, God will help you. Amen. So you should understand, you should be careful when you talk about wedding. Something great is happening on that very day. I put it this way. Wedding, the wedding day, a date with destiny. It's what? A date with destiny. And I believe that I am here today by the grace of God to impact somebody. Apostle Paul wrote to the brethren, Romans chapter 1, verse 11. He said that, I desire to meet with you. I long to see you that I might impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established. If you hear something and you are impacted with some gift and you do not, you see, we were talking this morning at the Sunday school. It was said that what is wisdom? Wisdom is the correct or appropriate application of knowledge. If you have knowledge and you don't apply it appropriately, you are not a wise person. And academics does not give you wisdom. Academic is just the acquisition of knowledge and exposure to information. It does not give you wisdom. And if it is assumed to give wisdom, how do you equate a medical doctor who is a chain smoker? He's a medical doctor, but he's not wise. He has knowledge, but he's not wise. So wisdom makes you apply your knowledge in the right way. What I've been doing over this weekend is to give you knowledge. And you have acquired so much over the weekend. I pray you'll be able to apply the knowledge wisely in the mighty name of Jesus. So that when we see you next time, your family life will be a different one. I feel excited when I meet with people and say, oh, pastor, you know what? You came to our church at social time, and I had this, and you know what? We practiced it. It has worked for us. It gives me joy. And I pray you will apply it in the mighty name of Jesus. And this, I'm not preaching yet. You see, some people are married, but are not wedded in their hearts, not bonded in their acts, and not welded by good relationship in their acts. I hope the projector is able to put it. Yeah. So you must be wedded. You must be bonded. You must be welded. When you are welded, it is assumed that it is inseparable. To separate that relationship will take extra force. So when we talk about marriage, it's something like that. You are bonded. You are wedded, you are bonded, you are welded. So it has no reverse gear. It is irrevocable in the presence of God. And if you choose to do and go against the will of God, then you should be ready for the wrath of the living God. God will help us in Jesus' name. So our text is taken from the book of Romans chapter 8, 28 to 32. Romans 8, 28 to 32. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Father in heaven, I pray I will speak as your oracle. Every soul under the sound of my voice will hear as the learned. Father, Lord God, they will hear as the learned, and they will be impacted by the power of your word in the mighty name of Jesus. This army says you sent forth your word and you healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Father, whatever has been destroying anybody or any relationship before this time, Father, deliver your children from such in Jesus' name. Let your name alone be given all the praises and let our joy be full. Thank you, eternal rock of ages, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. In Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4, it says that God had given him the tongue of the learned to know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. No matter how weary you have been before now, I am under the grace and the anointing of God to speak a word into your life. It is not the length of a sermon that matters, but there is a word that is meant for you. I pray you receive that word today in the mighty name of Jesus. You will not leave this place the same way you came. Amen. So we're going to be talking about 8 to 10 items, but depending on how much I can take within the time frame. So, and we'll look at that very text, that this text can best be described as a blueprint of prospect and personal success for every Christian. Simply put, every Christian is a prophet to himself or herself and the architect of his or her fortune or misfortune. You become a prophet to yourself. You become the architect of your fortune or misfortune. Many people speak some things into their personal lives, and at the end of the day, they didn't know the reason why some negative things are happening. But you will speak positively about your life in Jesus' name. When I face any difficult situation, those that are that work with me in the ministry or very close to me in administration, when anything happens, I say, we will get there. We will get there. Irrespective of what, I mean, it may be difficult now. Many times I don't want to know how. Because I've discovered that was what killed the Minister for Finance and Economic Planning in Samaria. How shall these things be? And God said, you will see it. We will not partake thereof. The how belongs to him. So I leave him with the how. When it is right now for me to take an action, he will prompt me and tell me what to do. So I don't want to have stress and a migraine because of how will this thing be. You don't have to understand how it's going to be, but believing that it's going to be, then it will show you the how. In the mighty name of Jesus. So we talk about destiny. The word destiny is one of the most controversial subject of discussion. So destiny is the original intention of the Creator, the pursuit and fulfillment of which is expected to be the aspiration and the ultimate desire of the created. Destiny is the original intention, exactly what God intended that you should have. That is your destiny. But not everybody, you see, the fact that you are living, somebody says, okay, I am able, I'm alive. It doesn't imply that you are maximizing life. I can fly. It doesn't imply that you are attaining the height desired of God for you. Mosquito is a flyer, house fly, they fly. Could be wonderful brother, exacting sister. When you get married, you may marry the greatest frustration of your life. That will not be your portion in Jesus' name. So destiny, very, very crucial. And who you marry may influence or affect or determine the ultimate fulfillment or the misfortune of your destiny. So the fulfillment of eternal destiny starts at the point of salvation of the soul. So salvation is the beginning of real contact with life, the meaning of life that adds true meaning to life. It's the meaning of life. John 14 verse 6 says, Jesus Christ said, he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by him. He's the way, he's the truth, he is the life. 1 John 5:12 says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So which means, if you don't have a contact with the Lord Jesus, you don't have life. You can be in church. I was preaching one Sunday, and I said, look, the fact that somebody is a pastor doesn't mean he's a Christian. How can you say that? I said, listen, that is the truth. Somebody said, a pastor said, fake it until you make it. Is that a Christian? Okay, so. But I thank God that you have a Christian pastor in the house. Let's clap for Jesus. So the perception of destiny, terrestrial or eternal, is determined by the individual state of mind, indoctrinations, idiosyncrasies, attitude to life, level of exposure, core values, and choices. The choices that you make. I want to marry him because he has a long arm. He has a good bank account. When all the material things, when they are no more there, then the love is over. But you must marry because you are convinced that you should marry. God will help us in Jesus' name. Make the right choice. You make the right choice in Jesus' name. Then the wedding. The wedding day is a date with destiny. A day of putting a seal on a choice. And an assumed expected day of consummation of a conjugal relationship. An assumed expected day of putting a seal on and consummation of a conjugal relationship. A relationship can be platonic. A relationship can be conjugal. When you have association, especially those that are not yet married, you have a platonic relationship with somebody and it is so close, you put a problem in your personal life. Especially if the person is an opposite sex of your age group. Because everybody assumes that that is your person that you want to marry. Whereas he's not interested in you, you're not interested in him. But the two of you, if you have such a platonic relationship that is so deep, separate now. Because it may be a hindrance. The very person that is being established by God to be your husband sees you and says, she's already together with that person. And that is the end. Many years have passed by. Nobody came. They have been seeing somebody with you. And the other side may be an impersonating force or forces, which makes it look you have a husband. And they see a husband with you, but you are not yet married. That may be a demonic case. That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. So the wedding is very, very crucial. Proverbs 18:22, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and did what? Obtained the favor of the Lord. I praise you. Obtain favor in Jesus' name. So I believe that it shall be well with you. Bible tells us that Romans chapter 8 verse 30 says, he that spared not his son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also give unto us all what? All things. And in my part of the world, there's something that I translated into English. And I believe that whoever gives you a child to marry had finished all the acts of favor, benevolence, and gratification. So wedding is the giving and receiving the hand of a spouse of opposite sex in holy matrimony. And as the commandment says, for a marriage. So when you receive the person and you get into the life of that very person. I pray you not get into a wrong life in Jesus' name. So love was born blind, but marriage opens its eyes. Amen. From the day you start to say, I do, your eyes will never be open. Start to imagine, was he like this before I saw him? He was like that, but so-called love blinded you. But with marriage now, open your eyes. You can now see. Amen. I pray you're not going to be seeing something odd. Marriage itself, see, there are more to marriage than meets the eye. A golden policy for a happy relationship is making the best of what you have, who you have, where you are, to get to what you want. Make the best of and see the best in your spouse. The best is relative. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. The best is what? Relative. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And somebody says, hey, well, your wife is not beautiful. That is you. My wife is the most beautiful woman in the world. Amen. If you don't cherish that which you have, you'll be denied what you're supposed to control. Because you don't cherish it. So somebody just mess it up. You just forget about what you have. That will not be your portion. It says Proverbs chapter 5, 18 to 20. The Bible says, let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hand and a pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? Be satisfied with your wife. Be satisfied with your husband. Mr. X is not meant for you. That is why you are married to Mr. Y. Amen. The other lady now that you are looking at, she's not meant for you. You've gotten the best if you have been a child of God before you got married. And if you are not a child of God before you got married, now present that which you have taken on your own. Amen. You have made a choice. It is well with you in Jesus' name. There is no exchange. And don't ever imagine that, I wish I've married Pastor Adi. You just discovered that you could not take me for 1 week. Because you are not meant for me. God will help us in Jesus' name. Then we talk about when you get married, then you have products. A product. After the first 5 years in marriage, your spouse becomes your product. There's no better advert than a good product. Your children are the second version of your product that tells the community your true personality. When they see your children, the true image of who you are will reflect on them. You see, lives are better impacted by example, not by precepts. Live a life of an exemplary life. Let them see Christ in you. Even if they are behaving contrary to expectation, they will come to a turning point one day. I can't continue to do this. You don't know what your children do. But, my baby, who is just going to be 18 now, most of the time, he comes to the morning prayer, he will be too tired. I said, if this boy sleeps at 10 o'clock, he could not be tired at 6 a.m. So I would then sneak to the room. And when they said, Daddy, you have always caught me when I'm not doing the right thing. If you are doing the right thing. I've told them, do the right thing every day. Not because of every day, but because of one day.
Wow.
If you are doing the right thing every day, even when that one day of examination comes, you never knew that one day had come and passed because you are doing the right thing. But if you are not doing the right thing, you'll be caught red-handed.
Wow.
And not because your hand is red in color. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. So I had to watch him. Up till I didn't tell him. No, he told me that he's been giving his life to Christ about 3 years ago. But his big brother, Chosen, now called him into his room and spoke with him. And then he gave his life to Christ last week. But I didn't call him to say, now that, let's clap for Jesus. So I didn't call him about it. Then, the big sister was to minister in Atlanta, so she went to minister in Atlanta. Then right from Atlanta, she now called me and gave me the news that, you know what, Royal became born again about 3 days ago. And I said, well, but anyway, and then he told his friends, he said, listen, what we've been doing together, I'm no more doing it. And then they told him, but are you not going to listen to our music anymore? I said, no, I am not listening to those music again. I have made up my mind for the Lord Jesus. So it means that he knew and he's come to the saving grace. There's a salvation, so as it were, of cranium knowledge. There's a salvation of the soul that is inherent. That's why I always say water baptism is an outward show of an inward grace. It has taken place in your spirit and you're only being confirmed externally. So I pray that if you are still playing church, just like, I didn't talk to him about it because he's a teacher, he's a school teacher with children. He was not born again. He's been teaching children. He has a curriculum of what to teach. Academic knowledge is different. So, but just last week, he told his big brother, I surrendered my life to Jesus, and he prayed with him, led him to Christ, and he told all his friends, all these things we what? Cut off. Amen. That is what we're talking about. God will help us in Jesus. So your product will tell the community who you are. Amen. So your spouse becomes your product after the first 5 years of your marriage. So your spouse becomes a tool in your hands. You cannot afford to blame your tools because the initiative belongs to you. So after the first 5 years of your marriage, you can't blame your tool. You can't blame your spouse anymore. The initiative does what? Belongs to you. So you'll just be condemning yourself if you condemn that very guy or that very lady. In practical criticism, you see first in others what you hate in yourself. That is the reality of it. You see first in others what you do what? You hate in yourself. So don't condemn your spouse. Stop. Look inwardly. And you may discover that what you're looking at is what you do what? You hate in yourself. I pray God will help us in Jesus' name. So number 5 points is the pillars of marriage. I will run through this because I don't have time. But I wish... This is someone that I will have broken into, if I'm teaching my local church, breaking into about 4 different series. Pillars of marriage. The couple, therefore, should do their best possible to sustain the pillars of marriage. 1, complete adherence to conviction. 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 Amen. You must be fully convinced that this is God's choice for me. Not that after they have wedded you, then you now get to them, then you now see one lady, oh, I wish I waited one more week. That is too late. God will help us. You must have that conviction, and I pray you have it in Jesus' name. Commitment and vows. You must be able to say, this is this, and you stand by it. Number 2, faithfulness, not loyalty. I spoke about loyalty and faithfulness. There are 2 different things. If you have the opportunity, get the previous teaching and get something about faithfulness and loyalty. Then trust, confidence, reliability, tolerance, and endurance. Yes, there must be tolerance and endurance, but marriage is supposed to be enjoyed, not to be endured. But yet, there must be what? Tolerance and endurance. There was a particular case of a sister. She's a member of the choir, but not in the church. When it is bedtime, she just takes a key. And so when she traveled, the husband now called us that, I want my wife back because there's nobody to play the music. But you will say, I cannot sleep because she snores. But to her husband, that was, in fact, he said, please, excuse me, Pastor, my wife has stayed long enough. I want her back because there's nobody to play the music for me at night. He's been able to tolerate initially, accommodate, and then it became part of him. You see, I told my people, if you do something wrong the first time, we call it what? A mistake. You do the second time, a practice. The third time, a habit. When you do the fourth time, it becomes your lifestyle. So the man had taken this, knowing the first time, it's a mistake. No, a practice. No, a habit. No, this is now what? A lifestyle. So he's used to it. So when he slept and there was nobody to, he didn't yak. And change the guy. Oh, say no. Pastor, let my wife come back home. Amen. Admire what you have. Amen. So you must be able to tolerate and probably endure one or two things that may become eventually your lifestyle. Number 7, love, care, support, giving, sacrifice, and honor. There can be giving without love, but there can be no love without giving. Somebody can give you without love. A good example in the scripture was King Saul. He gave Michal to David as a snare. A wife that will be a snare to you will not be your portion in Jesus' name. Amen. Then, readiness to learn. We live to learn. To cease to learn, it will cease to live. The day you cease to learn, you die. You come to learn. You have not known him or her. You are still learning to know. I'm still learning more about my wife. But right now, I can say after about 30 years, I can say I know her. Preference for things of eternal value. Money has an ambition. Money has an ambition to be the determinant of value. Money does what? It has an ambition to be the determinant of value. And wherever money becomes the determinant of value, insincerity is inevitable. Do you hear me? Money does what? Has an ambition to be the determinant of value. The value of your husband is not determined by the bank account. The value of your wife is not determined by how much money she brings into the marriage. Wherever money is the determinant of value, insincerity is inevitable. But the real value is inherent in that very person. In one of my writings, I said that a beautiful woman, I remember exactly where I put it in my writing. In my part of the world, they said when a beautiful woman becomes an object of distaste and assumes that it is the doing of the supernatural, but never knowing that it is a relegation of the aspect of character in her life. If you are beautiful and handsome, a man, if you are devoid of character, then you are nobody. So character is the full expression of your personality. Number 7, practical relationship. An act is in response to an art. Art is a personal expression of the mind according to perception. Art is what? A personal expression of the mind according to perception. The way you perceive something determines your impression. So if you don't perceive right, that's why when we play music here, if you are from India, you start to dance rolling like this, right? And if you are from eastern part of Nigeria, you start to do. Amen. And if it's from the western part, you start to say. Amen. You know what I'm talking about? They have had the same music, but their perception. So it may make a difference. So somebody is talking about the way you relate in your own home. It's not their business. This is my perception of our own relationship. Don't look at your, hey, this is the way my mother, your mother did it. She didn't get it right. Why she told the same line? Look at what works in your marriage. That's why when I give counsel to people in marriage, I say, whatever works for you. Hey, my big auntie, my sister, we call her auntie, the very first born of the family. She was so Africanized, highly domesticated, subject to servitude. When she wants to give food to her husband, in England. So my younger sister went to visit them in England, and when they were there, and uncle was not in. My sister was putting food on the table, and she was sitting. And my younger sister said, "Rush you around with it. What type of nonsense is this? He's not here." And my sister said, "Leave me alone. This is my own home. Amen? This is my own home. Whatever you do to make your marriage work, do it. How can we? Hey, those who can't say to negate your practice that have been working for you, they will be the one that will condemn you when your marriage is broken. I pray God will help us. And that's very practical in a relationship. You see, I have some money here. Then the art of learning. Then we don't part of that. Do you know your temperament? And if you don't know it, you got to work on it. Amen. Go and get the material and work on that one. And I said, learn from your predecessors. Don't assume equality. And I translate one of the African saying, sacks and skin may be alike in pigmentation, shape, and sizes. However, the texture and toughness may be at variance. Those of you that know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. Sacks and skin may be alike in pigmentation, shapes, and sizes. However, and the texture and toughness may be what? At variance. So the fact that you say, okay, we are all 30 years old, we are all 40 years old, or somebody, my father, yeah, listen, you must learn something. You don't have to wait for the same experience. Whatever I destroy, they must not destroy before you learn. Yes, I pray God will help us. Amen. Then the marriage supper of the Lamb. There was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, John chapter 2. Here is a wedding just conducted around town and everywhere. Of you have been involved in, with one, and you are in one marriage already. But there's going to be a marriage supper of the Lamb. I pray you'll be there in Jesus' name. Apostle Paul and Peter, they wrote extensively on the issue of marriage. And Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 3, 8 to 10, and Philippians chapter 4 by Apostle Paul, 8 to 9. And I will read them, then we'll close. The Bible says, 1 Peter chapter 3, 8 to 10. It says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be cautious, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are there unto call, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Then Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians, Philippians chapter 4, 8 and 9. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think of these things, those things which ye have learned, both learned and received, and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. I want us to rise. You have had something. You have learned something over this weekend. And I want to believe you will do it. You will apply wisdom. We said wisdom is the correct application of knowledge. You have got the knowledge already. May I ask you, will you at the end of the day prove that you are wise or foolish? I want to believe I'm speaking to a wise person who is going to apply this knowledge to the glory of God the Father. I want you to talk to God right now. Tell the Father right now. If you are married already, I congratulate you because there's no reverse. There's no going back. Divorce is not an option. You just got to work it out. If you're not yet married, oh, great congratulations. You can keep your eyes wide open. Your spiritual antenna sensitive to receive of the Lord to make a choice after a conviction. Tell the Father today, Father, you know my situation. You know my condition. Father, have your way in my life. Have your way. I want you to talk to him. If you have not given your life to the Lord Jesus, it is better for you to first of all surrender that life to the Lord Jesus, because your life begins at salvation. True life is in Christ Jesus. In him was life, and in him is life. And the life is the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. So you give that life to the Lord Jesus Christ today. If you have been playing church, just like my baby, my last child, he was called by his big brother and he gave his life to the Lord Jesus. Yet he was involved in teaching Sunday school for the children because he's a pastor's son. But he came to a saving grace moment and he surrendered all at the feet. And he told his friends, no more. I don't listen to such music again with you. I don't listen to you or call you in the night and play a game with you in 12 midnight anymore. I am saved now. I'm a child of God. Say, you don't want to listen to a music. I'm not no more with you. If you are ready to do the same thing today, I want to rejoice with you.
want to say, I want to be a bride of the Lord Jesus. Just raise your hand above your head wherever you are. That is the beginning of life. I'm telling you, that is the beginning of life. 23rd of May, 1977. That was the day I was born. The old man, the old me died. The new me came to life. 23rd of May, 1977. And I can tell you, I can recommend him to you. Because he had turned my life around. He turned my life around. And I have said it before God. Whenever we were doing our biological evangelism, I said, any child that will come to this family, they must know the Lord. A child that will not know God will not come in here. And I believe all the children, I said, they are born again. They are going to be established in the kingdom. So when they come in one after the other, I'm very happy that God is a God that answers prayer. Because life begins at salvation. Raise your hand up if you want me to pray with you. You are saying today, you know, you're not playing church. Not playing church. My son was playing church. He's the son of a pastor. He was involved in Sunday school with children. But he knew in himself that, no, what the true meaning of salvation, I don't have it. But he gave that life and he told his friends, no more all those bad practices and habits. No more. I'm a child of God now. You want to do the same thing, I want to pray with you. Raise your hand up wherever you are. If you are the only one, it may be only you today. It could be only you. My brother, if you want to do it, do it. It's a round and about turn, 360 degrees. Complete round and about. Any more person? Raise your hand up. I did the same thing one day and I never remained the same. He's in the house. God bless my brother. Any more person? You're not playing church. It's going to be the beginning of a new life. Father in heaven, I thank you for your word that has gone forth. I thank you for souls that are impacted. I thank you for homes that have been affected. Father, Lord God, I'm committing these ones that have been convicted of sin today unto your hands, that they live a right and about turn life to your honor and glory in Jesus' name. Let it be well with them. Father, they write the histories of their life. And their past shall never harm the mighty name of Jesus. Let your peace be their portion. Let your name be exalted. Father, above all, let us all be counted worthy to spend time between heaven in Jesus' name. Father in heaven, I pray. Your word has gone forth. The word says you send forth your word and you heal them and deliver them from their destruction. I declare every destruction removed from your lives in Jesus' name. I pray every home into peace in the name of Jesus. I pray the grace and the glory of God be made manifest upon your lives in Jesus' name. That your family life will never remain the same from this hour. So shall it be with you in Jesus' precious name. Let's clap for Jesus.